Welcome to the Wednesday Night Public Affairs Show here on 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And we are the tech guys who answer your questions about anything technology-wise. Give us a call, and we will do our best to get you pointed in the right direction. The phone number is 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. If you happen to be listening to us on the web and are out of the area code is 970-241-8801, extension 1. And if somebody else is already on the line when you call, let it keep ringing, and we'll be able to get to you directly after the previous call.
If you don't like the ringing, you can just hang up and call as soon as you hear the person stop. We just can't put anybody on hold here.
So. Not yet. It's coming.
Right. It's coming.
It's coming. We got a grant, so that's cool. All right, so 241-8801, extension 1. Can you pass my tea, Adam? Do you mind?
You have tea?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have tea.
There you go.
It's not coffee today. It's tea.
Okay.
Went to light. Anyway, great to have you again here today, Mr. Adam.
Yeah.
I'm glad school's out. And some cool things we talked about coming in. I gave Adam and I are probably the only people in the entire universe.
That never do show
radio
prep.
Universe that never do show
no,
prep.
No, we don't need to.
And we never meet with anybody because we want you to call us at 241-8801, extension 1. That's what we hope for, is wall-to-wall calls.
Right.
But Adam and I are good BSers, so we usually do that.
That's
if you don't call. But we do have a call, so let's get this call. 241-8801,
Rick has a BS. I have an
extension
MA.
1.
I want to clarify.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, here they go. It takes me a few times. Hello.
Hey, welcome. We have somebody.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Wow.
The first call is always the hardest. Welcome to Tech Guy Show. How can we help you?
Thank you. I have an XP, and I know I need to buy another computer.
Only if you're going to use it on the internet.
Yes.
Okay.
And I saw on the internet that Windows 8.1 apparently people don't like it, so now they're going to come out with Windows 9.
Well, but Windows 9 may not be available till 2016, so you don't wait for that.
Don't wait for that.
You don't have time to wait for that. It's not going to come out before April. You don't have time on your hands. You need to do something quicker.
I guess what I'm getting at is I saw where you recommended Ubuntu.
And you saw my article. If you saw my article at helpmerick.com, I lined out who the Ubuntu or Linux is best for. Because it's not for everyone, but if you follow my article that I have at the website, it outlines who it will work for and who it will, and most people it will work for great, but there are a select few that it may not. So make sure you look and read through the whole article thoroughly.
Okay, I'll have to reread that. Do you think that Windows 8.1 is that bad?
No. The short answer is no. The biggest thing that you hear with every new version of Windows is people hate it because it's different. And that's the only thing that people hate. And it's not different necessarily good. It just means that the engineers and whoever's in charge out there in Washington, they'd like to just make things look so different that it throws everybody off for a good year or two. And then they get all this bad press because people say, oh, it's no good. It's not that it's not any good, because it actually runs pretty well. And it runs pretty fast, boots pretty quick. It's no safer than previous versions of Windows. It's just as prone to viruses and spyware, but as a operating system goes, it works pretty darn well once you get it up and running.
Okay, all right. I wanted to know that. And if you use Windows Security, that's the best antivirus.
Well, the best antivirus today is being careful, because there's no antivirus on the planet that's going to keep your computer virus free and spyware free. Because even if you have a great antivirus, if you don't make the right decisions while you're searching the web or downloading information from the web or downloading programs from the web, it will override any antivirus or any anti-spyware. So the best...
I'm real conservative.
Okay, good.
I haven't had a problem so far.
I'm knocking on wood for you.
Yeah, but I think you said that before, that if you on the new Windows you use their security,
yes,
is that correct?
That's what I've used the Windows security for the last 6-7 years since they came out with it. I don't do anything else.
Okay, so just stick with that.
Yep.
If I could ask another question.
The last one will cost you $5.
Okay. I've got Quicken on my machine right now.
Okay.
Can that be transferred over?
Yes. Yep. Back it up to a flash drive. As long as it's version 2006 or 2007.
I forget which
and
version.
Newer.
Yeah.
It'll transfer to a new version of Quicken. But if
you do have to have your Quicken disk and install Quicken on the new computer.
Right.
But your data can be transferred from one computer to another.
It came already on the computer.
Ah, do you know what version of Quicken it is?
The cheapest one or the...
Do you know what year, though? Is it like...
I forgot now exactly the title of it.
Because, again, if it's not 2006, it might even be 2007 or newer. Even if you had the disk, it'll be too old to run on Windows 8. You'll have to buy a new copy.
Oh, okay. I'll have to buy a new copy.
Yeah, and again, if the data is older than 2006 or 2007, you're going to have to go on to the Quicken website, and in their support section, they'll let you download a free copy of like the 2006 or 2007 for you to convert your data so that it'll then convert to the newest one. Because if you've skipped that many versions... That's too many versions for the software to be able to update from. So you'll have to update your data, and they'll walk you through it on the Quicken website.
Okay. Yeah, this machine is about 2002 or so.
Yeah, you've got a lot of work to do. Oh. And I can tell just because you're a Quicken user, you are not a Linux candidate because you can't run Quicken on Linux.
Okay.
So you don't even have to go back and read the article.
I appreciate all the information.
And that answer will cost you $10.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, you guys.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the call. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. 241-8801, extension 1. And in case you're wondering what we were talking about with Windows XP, Microsoft announced last year, they've done this for four or five years.
Yeah, right.
But last year...
They do this with every version of Windows.
Correct. But last year, they finally came with the final nail for Windows XP, because they've extended that.
Which usually
that.
Comes 4 or 5 years after their first nail.
Right. And they've extended it many times. That's the iMessage.
You're tweeting.
No, it's not tweeting. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But they've kept extending it because up until 2 years ago, Windows XP still had more than 60% of the installed base of Windows.
Right. People were really reluctant to go to 7 after the whole...
Yeah, because people hear those rumors.
Well, it was the Vista. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happens with Windows and Windows 8. So Windows 9 should be pretty good because Windows 8 was kind of screwy.
Right. Windows 9 may not be out for a couple more years.
Oh, yeah, I don't expect it till 2016. In which case, you can start using your XP system again because security through obscurity
will make your XP system safe. Adam's confusing everybody.
Okay, go
241-8801, extension 1. Here we go. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Adam. How can we help you?
Hi there. I have a backup drive, an external backup, and my computer's telling me that it's full. And I know that there's some way to, I'll say, dump it and then restore so it can add the newer information. Can you help me with that?
Sure. Probably the easiest thing to do is if your computer's still in good shape and you have a good backup system, probably the easiest thing to do is just format that external hard drive. Now, formatting, it means it's going to erase everything on that external hard drive, and then you're going to want to do an initial full backup with your new, you know, quote-unquote, new hard drive.
Well, can't I dump the one that I have? Can I empty it and then...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You're going to format it. And so that's the term, and that's the easiest. Well, you could go in and delete everything, but that's a lot, takes a lot longer and is not as clean. So what you're going to do is go into your My Computer icon.
Okay.
You're going to right-click on your external hard drive, and then you're going to see an option when you right-click that says Format.
Okay.
And so what Format means, again, is you can rename the drive as it formats. Like, you can call it Backup Drive, or you can call it whatever you'd like. And then there's going to be an option to say Quick Format, and you want to check that box.
And that's Quick Format?
Yeah, Quick. Q-I-C-K.
Okay.
Or like the quick chocolate milk that Adam drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's it.
Strawberry.
And then it'll take probably 5 minutes at the most?
Yeah, I don't know. How big is the hard drive? But it doesn't really matter. It won't take 10 minutes. Yeah. It's going to go quick.
It's about the big of a as big as a smartphone.
Okay, so well then should go pretty quick.
Yeah.
No, you want
if
to
it was
know,
as
like,
big as a hardback book.
I know. I was just being funny.
That was terrific.
Okay. Well, I'll get that a whirl.
Yeah. So right click on it and format.
Like 45 minutes. So if I'm in trouble, I can give you a call back.
There you go. All right.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
241-8801 extension 1. That's as easy as it works. That's why we don't plan for the show, because
we don't need to. We've seen the problems for the last, how long have we been doing the show?
14 years?
Yeah, there you go. So,
I was just thinking about that. It's 2014. Yeah. I started at 98.
I started
You came
about
on board 2000. In
2000. Yeah. 2000.
So we've been doing it together 14 years.
Yeah, there you go.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Adam still looks like the guy I saw when
you
called.
If you have a question about your Palm Pilot, we can answer that for you.
That's a good segue.
Windows 98 SE, yes, we recommend it over Windows 98. Yeah, do the upgrade.
That is a good segue, though, because before the show, we were talking about Adam and I used to be huge. We still are, but they just don't make them anymore.
I'm huge.
We used to be huge Palm Pilot people.
I still love
Palm Pilot.
I love them.
But Palm went out of business.
Yes.
But they sold the operating system to Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard did nothing with it.
They released the playbook, which was awesome.
For 2 months?
Yeah, it was about for a month, something like that. Yeah.
But we just heard during this Consumer Electronics Show that just finished in Las Vegas that LG Electronics bought the WebOS.
Which is smart, because the WebOS was good.
That's from
it
Palm.
It was decent.
Yeah, it was from Palm.
Decent.
And they're going to use it as their smart TV operating system.
That's really good.
So that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Are you going to buy an LG TV next year?
No, but I do support the existence of WebOS. If you have used an iPhone and you've done the new OS 7 update, you've seen a lot of the features that were originally included in WebOS.
A good search.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a Palm feature that they got rid of in WebOS. But the Palm feature, one of the things that made Palm wonderful was if you saw somebody on the street and you couldn't remember their name, but you remembered that they lived on Grand, you could type in Grand and go to contacts, and it would show all your contacts that lived on Grand. It was a database-driven system.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
I used to use it all the time.
And iPhone is pretty close now. Yep. It's pretty close.
It's gotten real close. The other thing we talked about in terms of old tech, and I told Adam about this. He hadn't heard about it. There's a website out there called Kickstarter. And if you've never visited Kickstarter, if you visit Kickstarter, Kickstarter.com is a wonderful place for people to do what's called crowdsourcing. Crowdsourcing means if you have an idea, no matter how crazy it is, whether it's an artistic idea, a technology idea, anything, you come up with a little marketing scheme, a video and some information about what you want to try to do and why you need money and how much money you'd like to do to be able to accomplish the goal.
Right.
And then you put it out there in Kickstarter. And
with a few benchmarks. If you don't reach those benchmarks, then the credit cards aren't charged and stuff like
right.
that.
So, yeah, so they always have a minimum. Like if Adam wanted to get $50,000 to buy a moped, Adam could put it on Kickstarter. He wants to save money going to college instead of drive his beater BMW that sucks gas. He might want
really
to get
bad.
On his moped.
Yeah,
and so so if he put it on there and people say, I'm going to support Adam in doing that.
Good.
If he made the goal that he set for himself, then you'd be charged. But anyway, that's all neither here nor there. One of the hot things right now is an smartphone, it'll be Android and iPhone, smartphone-driven paper airplane.
Yes.
It's very cool. I supported
it. How can you not support
that? I think I gave him $50 or something. I'm going to get one or two of them. They wanted $50,000. They, with about two or three weeks left in their campaign, they have now amassed $1 million in pledges.
I'm holding my pinky up next to my mouth as we say that. Yeah.
It is amazing.
Incredible.
But it's very, and I love this idea because a product is put out there, and if it's a good enough of idea, it gets legs and people start talking about it, and then it becomes a product.
Right.
I mean, that's, to me, the essence of what capitalism should be.
Yeah.
And it's very, I love it.
There you go.
But anyway, if you hadn't seen it yet, but I sent that on the email.
I did see a picture of it, and I didn't read the article about it and all that, but I did see it. It's a little attachment you put on a paper airplane with a little propeller on the back, but it connects up through, I guess, Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, one of the two.
Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. Connects up through Bluetooth. So, yeah, you can remote control. I have a remote control helicopter I control with my iPhone.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, yeah. None of this would have been possible. None of this technology we're talking about.
Right.
Hadn't we had a young woman running through a crowd of dour people.
Yes.
30 years ago during
that's
the
right.
Super Bowl.
Right.
And throwing a sledgehammer into a big screen of Big Brother.
That's right.
What am I talking about?
1984. 1984 will not be like 1984, the commercial for the first Macintosh.
That's very right. Yeah, 30 years ago during the Super Bowl. And I still get goosebumps thinking about that because I watch the Super Bowl every year. And I watch it like a lot of other people do, as much for the commercials as I do for the game.
You know, in 1984, I was oblivious to technology, but I remember the
commercial.
How
old were you in 84?
I remember everybody talking about it. I was 9 years old.
So you were a little bit under all that.
But I still remember people talking about it.
You hadn't read the book yet.
I remember seeing the commercial. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I didn't read it till I was 11.
Right.
But no, I was older than that. I read Animal Farm maybe when I was 10. But I think that, I still remember the iconic commercial. I do remember that it was sometime after that I started realizing that I had a couple friends who had computers, and I had no idea what a computer was even good for.
Right.
We'd had an Atari 2600 and didn't realize that was a computer. That was a video game.
Right.
But I think that
But besides the old Radio Shack TRS-80, which was kind of the same same time.
And the TI-99-4A, if you had one of those.
Those were all old computers, but those were for serious hobbyists.
Right.
Or for people that just were curious about what this machine would do.
Right.
But none of them are mainstream, right? They really
weren't. But I think a lot of that is marketing. I mean, I think really if we get down to Apple and what Apple does, an Apple computer, if you tear it open and you look at the components, you're going to see an Intel processor. But even back then, I mean, you take it apart, maybe it's a different brand of processor, but it's you're still going to see a processor, you're still going to see RAM, you're still going to be a hard drive.
Yeah.
It's not a magical system. There's no unicorns in there. Rainbows. It's just a computer. But the marketing and the precise. No, I'm serious.
I know, but Steve Jobs is rolling over in his grave at the moment.
Well,
I have
things to say about it that do make it different, that do make it worth the difference. But overall, if you were to take two people who didn't know anything about computers and show them the internals and what makes up a computer, you'd see two virtually identical machines between a Windows machine and an Apple machine.
Right.
The difference, I think, comes into the attention to detail, into design, and making it feel like something more like a luxury car versus a Toyota Corolla. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a difference in the perception, a difference in the marketing.
Well, and the other thing they did at the time is they had a very strong school program where they would sell the Macintosh at a very, very inexpensive price.
Right.
And I think in even some cases they gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
Some schools.
Yeah, I think my first computers were Apples with the green screens. And the first ones I ever used at a school. Yeah.
And that was a big part of their marketing, was to get it in schools, get it in front of kids. And that's, I think, was a big part of what they did as well.
But it didn't work.
Right.
I would argue it didn't work.
Well, I mean, I don't think schools really embraced computers until the 90s.
I think they felt forced to use them, or they had to use them, or they didn't know
I think Apple thrusted it in there.
Sure.
In many cases. They had good salespeople that went in and told the administrators, hey, we're going to give you this.
But then, what happened was kids went, they used computers at school, and then they'd go home and tell their parents, I like the computer, it was really cool. And then so their parents would go out to the Radio Shack and bring home a Tandy or a TI-99-4A or
Commodore,
maybe. Those Commodores were cool. And they were certainly what I would think of as the first Mac generation computer. They'd bring that home and then...
If they could afford it.
But that opened the door for Bill Gates. It didn't open the door for Steve Jobs. And that's really how Windows took over.
Stepped in.
Yeah.
241-8801 extension 1. If you're a Mac user or have a Mac story, it'd be cool to call in. The Super Bowl is coming up in a couple weeks, and so we're kind of talking a little bit about that. But I think, like you said, it wasn't an immediate success,
right?
Except from a marketing standpoint, because people still study that ad today.
Yeah,
and that's
it's still every Super Bowl.
And
people
for me
talk
to get
about it.
My piloerectors here to stand up on my arm,
right?
30 years later is. It's pretty crazy because I can vividly see that black and white, almost pure black and white commercial.
A muted color.
Yeah.
And
now in 1984, I was 18.
And also, your TV had really bad color, so it was black and white anyway,
right? But you didn't see many very...
Right.
You know, again, okay, this is my
equation.
The
production value of
okay,
that
this
commercial.
Is my, okay, I'm ready. My son was about your age.
Yeah.
When we had the Janet Jackson slip up.
Oh, yes.
What was it called? What did they call it? They called it a wardrobe malfunction. And my son was about 8 or 9 when you, the same you were in 1984.
Right.
It was hilarious. I'll never forget his reaction because it was during the halftime. If you didn't know this, it happened. My son immediately almost got torticollis because he did this because he was. And so what I'm showing on the webcam is my son turned his head completely opposite of the TV and put his hand up because he didn't want to
be exposed to that.
But I remember as an 18-year-old seeing that particular commercial, it was a very nice looking young woman, but she was wearing white and red shorts, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, right.
And everything else was black and white, so she stood out.
Yeah.
And so here she is running down the thing. And
sure.
Same year as the 1984 Olympics, which is our first Olympics in 76. So there was a lot of, as a sports fan, there was a lot of things going on that I think Apple did right.
Yeah.
For that year. But anyway, long story short, 241-8801, extension 1, if you want to shut Adam and I up. We'll gladly take your call. Few years later, they fired Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
The company that he founded, the board of directors kicked him out because they thought he was going the wrong direction.
Sure.
Well, Apple ended up going further down the rabbit hole, and then they brought him back in the 90s. And here's what I think they did great with the Macintosh is he had the foresight to say, we need to scrap everything we've done and start over.
Since he was fired.
Right.
Especially. Yeah.
Right, right.
Right.
And yeah, definitely.
Because there was a season where there were Mac clones where you could actually build your own Macintosh computer if you wanted to, and that, or Apple computer. I shouldn't say Mac, but yeah, it was Mac. Yeah, you could build your own Mac-driven, you know, ran on the Mac OS.
And there was people selling them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You could do it.
That was in the late '80s, early
'90s. That was right before they brought back Steve Jobs. I mean, it was a mess, and.
But
that's not to say Apple didn't make some mistakes along the way. We can talk about that later.
But they still do. But I think what they did right. Back when in 84 and then when he came back is that they isolated themselves. I didn't appreciate that till now.
Right.
I didn't appreciate that till the last 8 years. Apple is the type of system that, as Adam just mentioned, you can't go out and say you can't sell a Mac computer. You can't sell a computer with the Apple operating system.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. Apple's the only one that builds it, and they only make 4 or 5 of them.
Yep.
2 or 3 different laptops. Two different desktops, 3 different desktops, and that's it. It's a very limited thing, and no one else can sell them. No one else can build them, and they've actually opened it up for who can sell them now, which is good, I think.
But it's still a rigorous thing. It's not like you can just decide, I want to start selling Mac computers. You have to go through their licensing system and training and everything in order to do it.
Yeah. But the bottom line is there is no, and in my opinion, there is no computer that's faster, more stable, and long lasting, I guess is the word I'm going to say. Yeah. And I think it's because they put up that fort around the system.
Right.
And they've limited who can develop for it and who can build them, which is just them.
I agree.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Somebody wants us to shut up here. Oh, yep, there they are. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Adam and Rick. How can we help you?
Hi there. I spoke with you just a moment ago about the backup drive.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I got it dumped. Now, how do I ask it to recall or save all my information again?
To what?
Oh, you already formatted it.
Now that I've got it emptied,
okay.
How do I know that it's backing up?
You didn't kill your backup software or anything, right? What backup software are you using?
It's called a Seagate.
Oh, so you have a Seagate hard drive, and you have the Seagate, I don't remember the name of the software, but whatever their software is installed on your computer?
Well, I was able, you know, I opened it and dumped everything like you told me to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Go to the external hard drive format, format, and so now it's empty?
Yep.
Right, right. Okay. So on your computer, if you're using their software, it's called the GoFlex software is what I'm looking at. Free Agent. It's called the Free Agent backup software. So you should have something on your computer that says Free Agent.
Okay.
Seagate Free Agent. And that's the software. If you use that, that's what is installed from that little hard drive. And by formatting the external hard drive, that didn't do anything to the software. So whatever it was, you, well, in fact, you started out your last call by telling us you got an error that it was full, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so was that error from your backup software?
I'm just not that tech savvy. I don't know how to tell you. I'll tell you, I
would be willing to bet, and this is where, you know, we might have to talk again on the next show if it doesn't seem to be happening, but it sounds to me like your backup stuff, you should just be able to leave it alone and it should just start backing up.
That's right, because we didn't change anything there. You just made room for the backup to continue.
Correct. It, you know, it says space used. It's 298 gigabytes, and okay. It's completely free now. So.
Good, good. Yeah, you'll be fine. You just freed open the space so that it can start backing up again.
And it'll just do it itself.
It should.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're going to have to check again that what you should have some software on your computer from Seagate, and it's called either GoFlex or Free Agent.
Yeah, I've seen the name. I've seen
good.
Free Agent.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to see that free space amount on your hard drive should decrease over the next week or two, and you'll know
it's working.
Yep.
But if you find that free agent software, you can go in there and look, and it'll tell you that it's working and when it last worked.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I like talking to people about backup, because if you're not backing up your computer, you're not. And there's something Apple does great.
Yeah.
Their backup system is foolproof.
You plug a hard drive in and it says, do you want to make this your backup hard drive?
Yes.
And if you just say yes, of course, then you can't use a hard drive for anything else,
right.
Really. But
right.
But still, it's that easy. You plug an external hard drive into a Mac and it say, yes, I want to use this as my backup. And it constantly
leave it plugged
backs
in.
Up.
Yeah, leave it plugged
yeah.
in.
Yeah, that's
and you'll
amazing.
Always be able to get it.
And one other thing about backup that I always like to remind my students, mm-hmm. and it comes in very handy, and we've talked about this before, backup is the second place you have something,
absolutely.
Not the type of place where you're storing it.
Absolutely.
If you're saving it on a flash drive or you're saving it on an external hard drive, it's not backed up unless you also have it saved someplace else. That's what makes it a backup. And it seems like it would be common sense to say that, but you'd be surprised how many of my students,
well,
when their backup drive crashes,
well, when I first started
crashes.
My business, one of the most heartbreaking stories I have is about a student, Adam.
Yeah.
She was probably graduating around the time you did.
Mm-hmm.
She was a graphics arts major.
Mm-hmm.
She had all of her art that she did through college on an external hard drive.
Yeah, I've had that happen to two
she
or
was
three
gonna
students.
Be, that's yeah. right. She's going to be a senior. She needed some of that art to put in her portfolio to get a job.
Yeah.
The hard drive crashed.
Yeah.
But that was the only place she had the data.
Right.
So just because you have stuff on a flash drive external drive,
which still, you know, it's not really a problem to lose all that data as long as you have $5,000 to $10,000 to pay somebody to recover it,
right?
So,
right.
Yeah.
Or you know somebody inside that big building in Utah.
Yeah,
241-8801 extension 1 is our phone number. 241-8801 if you have any questions about anything technology wise and we have another half hour left to answer your questions about anything technology wise call us about your phone, call us about your smartphone, about your smart TV, your smart watch. I can't help you with a smart watch, but you can try. Your Fitbit or fitness tracker.
My
anything.
Facebook is freaking out. They must be doing some sort of maintenance or something on the website.
Oh, that's tragic.
You see weird
tragic,
stuff on Facebook.
Tragic.
Yeah, that's very strange.
241-8801, extension 1. Welcome to the Tech Guys Show. How can we help you?
Hey, Rick. Do I get Rick again?
Yep, this is Rick and Adam.
Hey, just a quickie. A little background. My background is in System 36, mainframe stuff.
Okay. Big, giant computers.
Huh?
Big, giant computers that took up whole buildings.
Wait a minute, I can't hear you very well, but okay. Anyway.
Make it quick for us.
Huh?
Make it quick.
Okay, I'm trying. And so at age 30-plus, I'm not into it anymore. But my wife is in the 70s, and she's thinking about getting into computers.
Okay.
What is the best information that you could to guess?
Get her an iPad.
iPad. iPad is the way to go.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that really will be... The reason is it's...
Trainer.
Yeah, it won't feel like she's getting into computers. It'll feel like she has a tool that she can use for things she likes to do, and that's really what a computer should be.
Yeah, but she has to learn how to compute, how to use it.
Right.
Why we're recommending the iPad is that it's really, truly, you've heard this advertised for years and years, that computers are easy and that's easy and this easy. The iPad is made to be played with, and your wife will want to use it. She doesn't have to be tied to a desk to use it. She can use it in her easy chair. She can use it when she's sitting at the kitchen table. She can use it where she's standing at the kitchen counter. She can use it at her neighbor's house. I mean, she can use it in different places. And the neat thing about it is without any prior computer knowledge, all she has to use is her finger. And she'll explore this great little item with her finger. And
okay,
she'll discover things a lot on her own. There are many places she can take classes. She can go to the library here in town. There's a little independent Mac shop here in town that teaches. And there's many people around the city that also offer one-on-one training in her house. So,
okay, that's where I went. I knew all about the other junk, but I just wanted to know what you recommend as
I would say for her starting out.
Yep.
Oh, for training. Well, then she can get a book. Many people, if she's a book kind of a learner, there's some great books about the iPad that'll get her started.
Oh, okay.
Go
well,
browse the stacks at the library or Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I'm waiting. You're getting ready for Don to come on here very shortly, so I'm going to get out of the way and let you go back to work.
Hey, okay? We appreciate the call, and that was a great question.
Huh?
Great question. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Catch you. Bye.
I don't know if you heard what I said, but it was a good question. And I think for anyone, Adam and I were right on cue with each other because we think alike when it comes to this kind of stuff. But if you're new to computers or new to the whole technology world, hands down, the iPad's a way to go. The only thing I tell folks is sometimes if you're uncomfortable using your finger a lot, fingering up the screen, and if you like to type, take the extra little $50, $60 and get a keyboard for your iPad, and it'll feel like a little laptop, and it's wonderful. And you'll be able to do everything you want to do and more with the darn thing. It's wonderful. 241-8801, extension 1. But one thing he did mention that a lot of people don't take time to do is how to learn to use their technology.
Right.
Because so often people will spend $400, $500, $600 on a computer or maybe even an iPad, but they don't take the time to learn how to use it, and then they think that it's the problem of the device.
There was an era probably between the 1960s and the 1980s where you could wing it and not read the manual and kind of find your way around stuff. But really with technology, I think that learning and the time you put into actually spending with tutorials or having someone show you around, it really is an essential
skill.
Time
well spent.
Yeah.
Well, it just gets you off the ground quicker so
exactly.
You become comfortable and you can get more out of that
right.
device, more out of that investment. And that's the bottom line.
Right. And you have to, another thing is you have to be interested in learning something new. I think you always have to assume that I don't know the best way to do something. The way I'm doing it, there may be a better way to do this.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a key with technology is, you know, if you're used to going and selecting if you know what copy and paste is, if you're selecting text and go to edit, copy, and edit, paste, well, that's terrific. But if you learn how to do Command C and Command V, it speeds things up a little faster. Or right-click may speed stuff up. If you just always assume that there's another way to do it that might be better,
then you're going to progress. But you hit the key on it, and people always give me excuses like age and different
right.
things. You got to want to learn.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. If you're a lifelong learner, you enjoy gathering new information,
you're
going to get
just
along fine.
Yep.
But if
yep.
you think it's going to do something for you or to you, you're going to have a problem
right.
interacting with it and getting the most out of it.
Right.
No, I think that's a fabulous thing to say, and I tell people that all the time. And people are always surprised when I say, you have a question? Okay. People are surprised to say that when I tell them I don't like computers, I don't like technology, I use technology to get things done.
Right. It's a tool.
It's a tool.
That's
and that's
what
all
it
should be.
Yeah.
Here's our silence partner here.
Yeah. An observer with us today.
I actually have a question. When you were talking about right-clicking, and I know how important it is, and it's easy on my mouse at work.
Right.
But on this, my MacBook Air,
Two fingers. Tap with two fingers.
Two-finger click.
I'm trying.
Click it. Push down it. Like you're going to click on a button.
Oh, my goodness. I never knew that before.
That's called a context menu when you right-click on
That's called a context menu.
Melinda just asked the question if she's using a Mac, which we've been glowing about here for the last half hour, and a right-click on a Macintosh computer or on a Macintosh laptop, you use two fingers, click on your touchpad, and there you go. That's your right-click.
You'll get in the habit of doing that in about a week, and never look back. It really is nice to do.
You can also, in the system preferences, you can go into your touchpad settings, and you can actually enable the right corner. I think, is it the right upper corner?
Well, to be a right click. Yeah.
If you don't like the two finger.
Yeah.
But the two finger gets pretty easy after a while.
Better.
Thanks for answering that. I have honestly been wondering.
That's why we're here.
It's been driving me crazy since I got it, because it's a little bit different than a desktop Apple. Yeah. So all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There we go.
Thanks, Melinda. 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. Those are all these questions we've had today is exactly why we do this twice a month here on KFM, is because we want to help people get the most out of their computers and devices. And sometimes it's just great to hear. And you can always try to research these things, but if you hear them and people tell them to you, sometimes it sinks in a little harder. So give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. Adam, here's a headline. Well, I'll tell you about the headline after this.
That's the way it works. We just have to start talking about something in order for somebody to call
in. All right, that's
okay.
We'll get to the headline in a minute. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Adam. How can we help you?
Just a quickie. I never listen to you guys.
Hey, well, then we're going to hang up on you if you never listen to us.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Okay, because... I am visually impaired, and I don't do computers anymore. But my wife is getting ready to try to get into it in the future. But at any rate, it's important that she knows how to get going. And... So we'll have to pay attention to your program.
Absolutely.
Tune in on the first and third Wednesdays.
Okay.
All right.
Because I'm just waiting for Don to come on after you guys get out of here.
All right. Well, we're going to open up the lines for other callers. Thanks very much.
Super.
Bye-bye. Bye. 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801.
You have a headline there, I understand.
Well, the headline that I'm worried about is we know last month that Apple finally got approval to sell the iPhone through the largest iPhone retailer cell phone company in China, China Mobile. And they've already gotten pre-orders up to 1 million in China.
All gold iPhones, I bet.
Probably.
I think so.
I wonder what kind of effect that's going to have on stock in the United States and, you know, in terms of availability.
I don't know.
You think they got production up to speed?
Probably not. I bet we'll see a dip for a while. But I think there will be a lot of people who opt to go with a 32 gig model instead of a 16 gig model because that's all you can get a hold of. I don't think it'll. I think we'll definitely see something.
Talking about a company that usually people always question them, but they always have the answer.
They always figure something out. Yeah.
Now, we talked about their 1984 ad, but have you seen their latest ad? The poetry ad.
No, I haven't seen the poetry
ad. Oh, it's good.
Saw the Christmas one.
The Christmas one was very good.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I liked your little, you sent me a YouTube.
Parody YouTube video about the Christmas one. That was really very nice.
Well, the new one is about poetry and what it be your verse is kind of what it is.
Wow.
And again, their ad company.
Do you think Steve Jobs is really still alive? Sometimes you kind of think that when you see stuff like this. Like he's faked his death so that he could just.
Yeah,
run without being observed.
Go back. I don't see it on their front page at the moment, but go look for the new Apple ad. It was on during the football games this weekend.
Oh,
I saw it
that's why I didn't see it.
But I saw it on Twitter, and so then I went and looked at it immediately, and it was cool. All Apple ads are pretty darn good. They have probably the best ad company, bar none.
Right.
And they don't get old and tiring, I don't think.
When you see them two or three times,
no, it's I don't not, think so.
Yeah, sure.
The Coca-Cola ads with polar bears,
yeah,
they've got to give up on that.
Yeah.
They've got to come up with something new.
Well, now they have a cartoon coming out about them, so they have to promote those. Yeah.
It's crazy.
There we go. Yeah. No, it's...
So check that out. Adam Windsor Mac Pro arrive.
I wish. That would be nice. Someday, maybe.
Yeah, Mac Pro is their high-end computer, and I want to see one. I haven't gone in to see one at a store yet. I don't know if they're carrying them in town anywhere.
I bet they won't. Maybe in the Mac, simply Mac store.
Your son and my son will have them before you and I do.
Oh, yeah.
Or use them. But
he better be making money with it, though, if he's going to buy something that
expensive.
That's
right. Yeah, they start at $3,000, and the reason why the Mac Pro is so expensive is it's made for high-end work. You're not supposed to be surfing the web and doing email with a Mac Pro. It's for movie editing. It's for high-end graphic arts. It's for animation, 3D development, or 3D CAD programming, things like that. It's a heavy-duty computer, and it's gotten rave reviews. If you want to buy one, it says it's available to ship not until February because it's been that hot. And this is an expensive computer. People have been waiting for this.
But it's as powerful as 10 computers. So
that's
it's,
right.
You know,
but people have been waiting, about 5 years since the last big Mac Pro upgrade?
Well, the thing is, if you bought an old Mac Pro, a 10-year-old Mac Pro, you're probably still using it, and it's probably slightly sluggish, but it still works for what you bought it for.
Right.
And so that's the thing. Yes, it's due to be upgraded, but the fact is that machine was so powerful to begin with that it actually has lasted quite a while. Yeah.
Not Rachel. We're calling her Rachel. Melinda. Have you seen that computer, Melinda?
Yeah, my husband.
He's going to get one.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, he's not going to get one. Well, I don't know. I think he'd want one, but there's no practical purpose. Like said, I mean, it's super high end.
So he's not doing anything.
He's not movie editing. He's not.
Right.
Okay. I mean, he's not making.
I'm going to put a practical purpose on Kickstarter.
Oh, you're going to what?
I'm going to put a practical purpose on Kickstarter.
Okay.
You raise money so that I can get one.
And then what are you going to do? What's the catch?
I can afford to make up a practical purpose if you can buy me one.
I can see Colorado Mesa's graphic design
I'm sure that there will be a few at the Mac.
They might have them on order, too.
There will be a few. The video editors and people like that, for sure.
Yeah, because they have a lot of graphic stuff going on over there.
I could argue a good case. But
he has been researching drooling. Them. Well, I think it's just because how cool would it be to have something like that? And how fast would it be?
But it's so small, too. It's just, it's a very nice...
intelligent a designer must be to pack that much punch in that little of a product.
Right.
And
when you think about how old, how big, large, huge, powerful computers have always been, and the fact that this is a joke in terms of size, it's so small.
Oh, I know
that it's just like it's a sight to behold, kind of almost.
It's an engineering marvel.
Yeah, thank you. That would be a very good way to describe
it. That's exactly. And the other thing people are really raving about is that not only have they engineered a wonderful and beautiful product, but it's very upgradable.
Mm-hmm.
And people have torn it down already and said that it is easy for the average user to add memory, to change hard drives, do all these things, and that's a cool thing. But now, speaking of a lot of power in a small footprint, that goes to another question, which is the Mac Mini, or another item is a Mac Mini. Since we're talking Apple today, the Mac Mini is I don't want to say it's the entry level, because it's a powerful little computer.
It's the least expensive way to get into a Mac.
There you go.
I think that it's a powerful computer. The thing is, when you buy it, you don't get a monitor, keyboard, or mouse. And so,
which is okay. You can get all those for $100.
Well, exactly. So it's basically a MacBook, a laptop that you buy without the
You can get whatever size monitor you want.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think 23-inch monitors this weekend, $100.
Yeah, you can find them around $100-$120 for a very low end one. But yeah, sure. And then
but
you can go
the Mac
there.
Mini is $599.
Yep.
I went on a trip in December with some buddies to Pittsburgh to see the Pittsburgh Steelers play, and we always like to do Airbnb.
Right.
And so the Airbnb apartment.
It's where you sleep in other people's houses.
Right. Or apartments, condos, etc. Sure. But it's not couch surfing.
Right.
It could be. Some people share their houses. We always go for the full.
Right. It's usually a full rental. Yeah.
But he had a Mac Mini attached to his big screen TV.
Sure.
And the cordless keyboard. It was awesome. So if you wanted to go watch YouTube, watch Netflix, he had it available for you. And almost everyone that's into a new computer these days, I would say, or a new TV, you would have the ability to hook this little $599 Marvel to your big TV.
Right.
And for my money, get rid of cable TV and just watch what's available on the internet.
Yeah.
Because then you can watch Netflix, you can watch Hulu, yeah. you can watch
YouTube.
We have YouTube,
Amazon Prime. We've been
Amazon Prime.
With that. Yeah.
And you can save $100 plus a month from your cable bill or your satellite bill.
Sure.
And I always, it's funny, I go into people's homes and we'll talk about their bills because your technology bills, your communication bills can get right. outrageous if you're not watching them. And a lot of folks still have a home phone, but both the husband and wife might have a cell phone. If they have kids, sure. the kids have cell phones. And then they're also paying for satellite TV, but the only thing that, or cable.
Is the closer.
Well, yeah, they're, yeah, exactly. They're only watching the network channels.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I write down all the numbers and, right. and then total it, and people's eyes get about this big. And the funny thing is that when I ask them what they're paying, they never know.
Yeah.
They have to go look for it. Well, it right. comes out automatically, and that's the danger.
Yeah.
But with a little Mac Mini, it's a wonderful little wonderful sure. little entertainment device as yeah. well as a computing device.
Yeah.
And you get the benefit of a big screen. Sit sure. on your couch, sit on your easy, lazy boy, and there you go.
Read your email on TV.
Yeah. yeah. Very cool. 241-8801 extension on. We have a few minutes left. If you have any questions about anything technology-wise.
I was looking over on Wikipedia, has a wonderful timeline of Apple products.
Okay.
And I would say...
On the main Apple's
on main,
article?
No, it's actually Apple Time, or well, that's the timeline of Apple Inc. products.
Okay.
Is the Wikipedia article.
Okay.
Just looking, using fuzzy math here, okay. I would say probably 70%, only about 70% of their products.
That's why you didn't get in engineering, because you're
right,
fuzzy
I do
math.
Fuzzy math, yeah. But I would say about 70% of their, only about 70% of their products actually took hold. Where they really got implemented.
That's
and went
pretty
well.
Good, though.
It is. It's very good.
If
it's
that,
very
even
good.
If
but
that's real fuzzy,
but,
that's
but I think
good.
What a lot of people think in the back of their head is that everything Apple does is terrific.
It's
everything
gold,
Apple
yeah.
is gold. But there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, not just the Newton, but the Lisa and the
I forgot about the Lisa.
Yeah, the Lisa, the Macintosh 2. There's the G4 didn't even last that long. It wasn't out for very long before they switched to Intel. There's a lot of those. A lot of... The little camera that you attached on, which every Mac now has an EyeSight camera, but they used to have a little EyeSight mm-hmm. adapter.
That little looked like a little tube.
Yeah, they came out with some special speakers that didn't last very long. They came out with a TV box that didn't last very long. The lifespans of each one of these products on there are listed.
Very
and
cool.
It's just kind of interesting to see how many things on there. I mean, just like any other company, but I think the main thing with them is their successes have been wild successes. And
I wonder if they'll have a new ad for this year's Super Bowl, or if that poetry ad will be their new one.
I don't know. Do they always run an ad? They don't always run an ad during the Super Bowl, though, do they?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay. I didn't
That's
think
true.
So.
Yeah, not necessarily. But yeah. I'm wondering if they'll have something new this year. I think one of the things that some people get turned off about Apple is their ads make you think. Because
yeah.
that 1984 ad... You know, a lot of people thought, what in the world is this? How does this describe yeah. a computer?
Now, you can go onto YouTube and watch some really cool Apple, early Apple ads with Steve Jobs in them and everything. There's some funny stuff out there. But that really showed the innovation. And I think if you really want to know about Mac and Apple and kind of their philosophy of things, there's an address that Steve Jobs gave. Was it to Stanford?
Stanford.
Is that who it
yes,
was?
Yes.
To Stanford.
Look up Stanford keynote address, keynote.
Graduation. It wasn't keynote, but yeah, whatever they call that. The
graduation.
Baccalaureate or whatever.
It's graduation keynote. That'll get you there. It's not necessarily a keynote. He's just the main speaker. But yeah, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it was
Stanford,
at Stanford.
Graduation.
But I think that really gets to the heart of what made Steve Jobs different as a leader is mm-hmm. just his really, if you went to one thing, I think if I was going to look at one thing in his life and in his book and all of that stuff, fonts were a huge
right.
determining factor.
He set in on classes on
as boring as fonts may
Oregon.
Be to somebody, fonts are really the thing that drove Steve Jobs to create a different system for computers, typography, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he set in. That's one of the kind of the folklore about him is that he set in without paying. He basically
commencement.
You call it?
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah,
commencement address.
Yes.
There you go. He set in on a typography class in some Oregon school. I don't know if it was Portland State or a smaller school around Portland, but he just sat in the back of the room and absorbed it.
He quit school and kept going to school to just learn the stuff he wanted to learn. And
that's right.
I think that's a
very cool thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we are rapidly approaching the end of the hour, so I think we're going to sign off